Hello and welcome to Scout Trout Radio. Tonight we're going to be talking about concussions. I seen an article come out by 247 today talking about a study from University of Greensboro, UNC Greensboro, that concussions are not good. I mean, marijuana products, CBD oil, that kind of stuff is not good for healing of concussions. On the contrary, everything else they said, most people, it does make extremely lazy. Most people, it makes them very inactive. Most people, it's not good for sports at all. People who have had their head rung around in circles, on the other hand, the other components of marijuana, the CBD, not the THC, the stuff that gets you high, even though that is known as well to, in small increments, to used with CBD products, which is cannabinoid oil, is known to depressurize your brain and to give you amazing results when it comes to healing compared to not using any of that type of stuff. So anytime you can depressurize your brain is a big thing. I mean, Martellus Bryant said he believes about 90% of the NFL guys use marijuana products because they do get hit in the head every play. It's an easy way to treat themselves without really, you know, going through a bunch of stuff, you know, and it works. So it's also a neuroprotectant, which means it protects your neurons, so it's actually good for preventing concussions and preventing more further brain damage and all that stuff. So I put a little bit of an article together with a lot of studies, even the Mayo Clinic, the U.S. government, a whole bunch of different organizations that have come to the conclusion in their studies that cannabis oil is very, 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 very good for people who suffer with head injuries or any neurodegenerative disease. So anything that is affecting your nervous system, which is wired to your brain, so obviously that would affect your neuro system. So anything like that, it is good for. I'm not sure about the other medical properties of it. I've heard all sorts of things. I've heard people tell me it is a performance enhancer because it raises your testosterone levels 2 to 3%. I've had others tell me, no, that's not true because it gets you all stoned and stuff like that, and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know all that, but I do know the factual studies on concussions, and it is a passion of mine to figure out how to keep the Mike Websters from in the world from happening. Not too many other people care, it seems like, even former teammates and stuff, because they got their bell rung so much that they're in the same state and they're not really understanding what's going on. So in that respect, it's been a passion of mine. It's kind of not the whole reason to go to Boulder, because I'm covering Pac-12 and Big 12 football, but there's a lot of studying I can do out there, a lot of different organizations out that way, a lot of different businesses and stuff that are dedicated to healing people, healing athletes, healing people with neurodegenerative diseases, people with you know, a lot of struggles in life, because once you start messing with somebody's head, it messes with your whole body. So I've been blessed to be able to have learned how to heal myself the proper way. I had an amazing doctor who worked at the Denver Broncos, the Avalanche, and the Colorado Rockies. He recommended, you know, lots of it, lots of CBD. He was pretty much pushing it down my throat. One of the best doctors in Colorado, John Kumro of Integrative Physiotherapy, based out of Fort Collins, played at Colorado State as a safety. Tore his arm up and learned how to heal himself. Like, it was a career-ending injury, and kind of ended up doing the same thing with my brain after seven of them. It started to get pretty rough playing linebacker and drop kicking. John Forcade of the New Orleans Saints back in the day, was a real jerk that game and was really trying to get me taken out on drop kicks per sources, inside sources, and was offering money for my head, just as the Saints did in the Bounty Gate. And if you know anything about drop kicking, it's one of the most skilled arts in all of sports. The ball cannot bounce. If somebody tells you it bounces, it's an illegal drop kick. So the ball can't bounce off the ground, or it's like a glorified punt. So as soon as it hits the turf, your foot has to make contact. So the timing of it is literally impeccable. And I was literally doing it every single play in warm-ups. I hit one from 60. I literally turned around and gave the owner a gesture because he kept talking. And I just kept making them and making them and making them. I was never on so much fire in my life. And it really ticked somebody off that somebody was that skilled at that area, because he's old and 57 and, you know, got to witness the Doug Flutie drop kick for the New England Patriots, got to know some CFL ball and how hard people that know football know how hard that art is to pull off in a game. Because the week before, I got to score 4 points and laugh in his face as it got done, and he called me all types of names. So the owner was calling me every day that whole month trying to get me to come play for their team. I said, no, I'm happy here in Colorado. I'm learning, I'm evolving, I'm getting better. I'm getting, you know, healed the proper way. I started a business. I started training kids. I train kickers every day in Colorado. Got 12-year-olds knocking 50-yarders through. You know, I'm good. And he just called me every day. Ended up calling me the P word and hanging up on me the last time. So I got a crew together to go down and play him, after a team canceled on him again because he doesn't pay the opposing team's hotel. He doesn't do a real good job. So we went down there, and I got my head taken off. So lesson learned. I should have just, you know, stayed out of it, because in order to kick a drop kick, the ball, like I said, has to hit the ground and your foot make contact right away. Well, the only way to see that is to watch the ball completely all the way to the turf. And as soon as it touched the turf, my foot connected and pop. My head was straight down, though. If you know, there's something else about kicking and drop kicking, your head, the only reason you keep your head down is to keep your momentum going forward. It's not really, you should be watching the ball, but a lot of guys get really good in their steps and rhythm and time, and they're the same place every time, so they don't have to watch it as much, so you can pick up on it. But your head is your biggest part of your body, so it's driving you down the field forward. So you want to keep your head over your shoulders, or the shoulders crank back, and then, you know, it's a wrap, and you're probably going to shank it. Like most of the NFL kickers I see today, using that power stroke kick that Husted taught to me that made no sense. And it's a big reason why most of the kickers in the NFL, like Aguayo, couldn't keep a job after, you know, being pretty daggum good in college. You know, try and make changes in your technique, try and make little adjustments to get more power, more this or more that, and all of a sudden you're just spraying the ball everywhere. It's a known fact. Kicking's an art form. It's not a science or anything like that. Like, they try and make it with all these things that attach to your body, showing your technique and all that. It's an art form. It's like ballerinas. I hate to say that, but like, you gotta be flexible, extremely flexible. You gotta be extremely detail oriented. You got to be able to dance when it comes time to dance. You got to be able to work under pressure. I mean, there's a lot of things. You got to be that nice guy in the locker room that everybody likes, but not likes, and, you know, can count on to, you know, at the end of the game, come in and knock it straight down the pipes. And that brings me to my next thing. I am going to rank kickers soon. I was a kicker, linebacker, hybrid. It's like the ultimate beast hybrid, kicker, linebacker. So you got a linebacker's attitude, but you're a ballerina at the same time. You know, that's hard to be. But that's why I was a good linebacker, because I could scoot around, you know, big guards and linebackers and, well, fullbacks. I mean, everybody coming after me to block me. It was easy. The game's up on this newsfeed article that I'm about to attach his radio show to. I went after John Forcade a little bit on Instagram. I'm about to go see if I can pull him out of the closet on Twitter. He lives in Gretna, Louisiana. I have a lawsuit pending against him, and I want to bring him out the woods. See if he'll pay all the $10,000 in bills that I had to pay after the concussion at Fort Collins Pooter Hospital. see if the owner of the New Mexico Stars will front the bill, pay for the bill that he's supposed to pay for after something happens on that field. We'll see if we can get him out the closet, because arena ball is dead and gone anyway. And there's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of injustices went on in that league. A lot of horrific injuries that never got settled, never got treated, never got a lot of things. And some of the guys that were in that game, I know, still had shots to go pro, and I was one of them. You know, to the team you used to play for, they always need a kicker. They sucks every year. So the way I was climbing the ranks, the way it all was going, they, you know, not everybody wants you to make it. And that's what I'm trying to tell you kids every day. There's going to be somebody out there like John Forcade, like the owner of New Mexico, who I can't remember his name, believe it or not. He lives in Mississippi somewhere. He does oil and stuff. So that's part of the reason I spent some time down in Mississippi doing some research, trying to find the guys that owe me all this money for taking my, for putting the bounty, you know, not covering the bills in a so-called sanctioned league game, all that stuff. So I can't find them still. So I figured doing a radio show with the magnitude of listeners and stuff we got would be fun. But at the same time, this is why this subject is so passionate to me. And the kids at Scout Trout playing football the right way, playing clean, playing hard and fast too. There's a difference between playing dirty and playing hard and fast and clean and playing the game the right way. Some people have to take the game to a dirty level in order to win, because they're not the superior athletes or the superior being on the field, and they know it. So once they figure that out, they will do everything in their power to start pulling out the dirty tricks. So just beware for that. Beware, you know, once you start doing some things on the field this year, they're going to be after you. It's football. If they take you out the game, it's a different ball game now. Always keep your head on a swivel. Always know your opponent. Always know if they are a dirty opponent. I didn't know. They were selling me a dream every day on the phone in Fort Collins, telling me they're going to give me this much money and put me up there, and if I'd come play for in the middle of nowhere in Albuquerque and go run into Walter White in Breaking Bad or something. I ain't going to New Mexico, dog, I said every day. And, you know, I was happy where I was. And everything happens for a reason. So I went down there just to have fun, play an arena game, probably one of my last ones. Knowing it was one of my last arena games, I wasn't playing arena ball no more. They don't pay enough. So it wasn't about that. It was about, I love to play football. If you know me, I can go out in a parking lot and make a game up in my head. I do it every day. Go watch the one I hit in the Chiefs parking lot. That was fun. Barefoot off the parking lot, you know, 30-mile-an-hour wind. There's nothing more challenging than that for me. There's no game I'm going to play and it's going to be that challenging. There's none of, it's never going to happen. So I can challenge myself mentally and physically every day on my own. I chose that route later down life, and looked at the game differently than I did before. And now it's about helping people. It's about helping them see the right way, the right path. Do not smoke weed. It is not good for you. Let's make that clear, especially for youth under the age of 18. It is not good for you at all. There is no medical benefits. Your brain's not developed enough yet to handle it. That's why they made the age 21, probably. I don't know what their logic was behind that, but that's most likely why they made it that age, because the human brain is not ready for it yet until you're older and more mature and fully developed. So marijuana can be a downfall and a gate. It can be a gateway drug to a very addictive, high personality that, you know, is around that stuff every day. So be careful with this lesson. This lesson is about perseverance and resilience and how to build something on your own, and about CBD, which is, I believe, legal for everyone. There's cancer patients that are kids that take it. There's all types of dogs. They give their CBD dog oil that I was giving my dog in Colorado when she started to get old. So, and I actually had her running through the mountains like it was like there was no tomorrow. So that stuff works. THC is the part that, you know, back when you were in DARE, or if you still have DARE, they say fries your brain cells if you smoke it and all that stuff. That's not purely scientifically true either, but that's the part they're saying is the bad part. This stuff I'm talking about is the other component. It's the part that relaxes people but doesn't get them high. It heals, the healing component. So all of that, though, with 4K, everything, it's in the past. But looking at the article from 247 today about this subject, I had to jump in as quickly as I could because I didn't think it was represented well enough. I didn't think it had enough factual-based information that is conducive to actually making people better and bringing some realness to this and bringing the game to another level. Because imagine if we could heal every one of these players that gets a concussion and we can get them back on the field faster. I mean, that's what everybody wants anyway. Every time I was playing, I tore my hamstring, I tore my knee, I tore my MCL, and they tried to get me on the field in 4 weeks with a full-blown MCL at Catawba College my freshman year. Full-blown, I couldn't walk. He said, we need you to punt. I go out there to punt, tear it again. Now, it's tear it even worse. Now I'm out the whole season. I said, you're Nimrod. But anyway, I don't want to get into more of that. But that's how they look at you. So if you can get back on the field faster down the road, healthiest way to do it, you know, you want to try and get it done, because if you're not on the field, you're also not on scholarship very long either, hurt or not. They will find a reason. So remember that. Remember, we got to play. If we're going to stay in school for free, you got to be productive. You got to be good in the classroom. That's the quickest way not for them to be able to take your stuff, take your scholarship. You know, you're just an outstanding student. You know, and you get hurt, then it's more like, you know, you're the team leader now. Now you can sit in the locker room and talk to guys and be an influence on your team, be a good influence, you know. So there's always positives to getting hurt too. A lot came out of it for me with my torn hamstring, kicking a whole season in the indoor football league with the torn hamstring. It wasn't smart. Because I messed up my technique, but it taught me a lot on how to make perfect contact, which, you know, once my leg fully healed again and everything, I could go barefoot and smack 70-yard field goals. You know, that helped. So you got to look at everything as a positive too, as a superior athlete, like you guys, a lot of you guys are in our company, or you're right on the brink of being a superior athlete, in my book. Because you're missing a few pieces here or there, but those pieces are upstairs. I mean, if you just can connect the dots and connect the missing pieces to the pieces you already got going for you, it's going to bring the whole puzzle together, and then you can actually do something, you know, extraordinary in this world. But if you're missing those key components that make the whole thing run, then, you know, it's not going to work out as well in the end. So, all in all, if you get a concussion, get off the field. Go see a trainer. Don't go back in the game right away. Because after, you know, experiencing a really bad concussion, you don't want to go get another one or even have your head hit in any slight sort of way. You want that one to heal before it gets hit again. Learning all this while going through it, you guys are going to benefit down the road. So please don't play through concussions. I believe I played through more than 7. I've been told my whole life not to say it. Even at Hargrave at 19 years old, 18 years old, I was told to say, when they asked how many concussions I had, to say 1. Because there was 1 documented. And there was 2 documented after the University of Kentucky. After Rakeem Smith, my up blocker, literally threw the guy right underneath my chin. And I still have a huge gash under my chin, knocked me out. Everybody knew I had a concussion. Coach Prunty knew I had one. You know, that was on punt. So playing at the University of Kentucky, and I did go back in the game after that. It was my call though, and I shouldn't have. I mean, I went in, I played some safety. I actually ran a guy down from behind now that I remember the play. I watched it on film after. I do not remember that play on the field. So that was another concussion that I don't even know if counts towards the seven. I don't know if that got documented or written down. I was always told as a football player to say the opposite number. If it's a 10, you got one or zero. So, we gotta be real with ourselves. We don't want to be end up like some of the guys that we adored as kids, Muhammad Ali, Troy Aikman, even though he's doing well, I guess. Steve Young looks fine to me. But Steve Young, see, guys like Steve Young, they were just brilliant in general. I mean, the guy was just just really smart. BYU graduate. Extremely gifted in a lot of other areas besides football. He learned how to cope with it and could deal with it because he studied. Most of you guys don't care to study about this stuff, to know your own body, to know why you function the way you do. And that's the separation factor between you and the greats right now. If you can figure out why, you'll figure out how to, reach the sky. All right. This is another episode of Scottrot Radio. I just want to clarify some things on this episode because, I know how things are with this subject. I didn't want it to be, Murph's encouraging everybody to smoke pot. No, not at all, actually. Pot is not a good drug to just buy on the street from somebody you don't know, where most of you guys would go get your stuff. So if it's going to be done that way, no, that's illegal. You're going to go to jail. You're not going to succeed. There's a lot of things that's going to happen. So in that respect, this is a totally different subject that was brought up on 247 Sports today. Was also brought up on everything else that I'm reading. And Martellus Bennett says 90% of NFL players smoke weed. So, or use marijuana. So we have to clarify that because there's a lot of, you can vaporize, you can rub it in as oil, there's lotions, there's everything, cookies, edibles, all that stuff. So let's be real, let's be realistic on what my message is. I know I got, some haters out there gonna be like, oh, yeah, okay. You're probably smoking a joint right now in your living room, listening to this, thinking of how I'm gonna mess with Scout Trout. So let's be real on the message. The message is concussions are bad. We don't want to play through them. We want to heal them as fast as possible so we can play again because we all want to play. We all love football. We all want to get back on the field as fast as possible. And that is the same thing our coaches want. That is the same thing our school wants because we're producing what for them? Seats. Seats sold at each game. We're producing jersey sales. We're producing all that. So they want you out there faster too. So get healed up the smart way and keep playing as long as you can. The less you have, the longer you're going to be able to extend your career, the longer you're going to be able to make something out of it. So remember that. All right. The next episode of Scout Trout Radio will be about Florida State football as we have an article coming out here soon. That will be released on our affiliate network, collegefootballtoday.org. We're going to talk about Florida State football for a little bit. Then we're going to jump back into Georgia football. Then we're going to jump back into Clemson football. And then we might do UMD football. And then we got Penn State football coming up. It's going to be a lot going on. If you haven't seen, we were featured on 247 Sports last night and on Scout Media. Very excited about that. Thanks for putting our YouTube videos up. That was very thoughtful and nice of you to find us at University of Georgia. It was a good time. If you listen to the episode about Lincoln Riley and everything like that, I did not backtrack, but I also gave his argument some legitimacy. There is some legitimacy to it when you look at the style of offenses and the points amassed. Yeah, I kind of see where he's coming from, but at the same time, the Paz did the talking. January 2nd, who won? This was Scout Trout Radio, home of the elite.